Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Guys, the original Greek festival is back. You can be Greek for a day, just like I'm a cowboy, every single day, and experience Greek culture, handmade Greek food and desserts. The original Greek festival kicks off Thursday, 5 o'clock, and we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets right now to caller number 3, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You and three friends are going to the original Greek festival. All right, guys. Remember, there was baseball yesterday.
Lewis electrified the crowd with a 2-run home run in the first inning off of Gausman. High fly ball, right field and deep. Springer back, turning, looking, see ya! He's done it again! Back-to-back home runs for Lewis, and it's 3-0 Twins!
The Minnesota Twins got their first postseason win in 19 years, their first postseason win in 18 games over those 19 years. And honestly, I think they're going to end up sweeping the Toronto Blue Jays today. They've got Sonny Gray on the hill against an ex-Minnesota Twin that Minnesota traded to Toronto back in 2021. Jose Berrios, they probably have his number. And I know the Twins didn't really do a whole lot at the plate yesterday, and what we should be rooting for as Astros fans is for this series to extend itself so that arms get tired, etc., etc. But I do think it's going to end up being the Minnesota Twins. Going into yesterday's game, I will admit, as someone who doesn't pay that much attention to other American League teams, I really only pay attention to the Astros and the team that they play for those days that they play against that team. I have completely overlooked Minnesota all year. I think we all have because they're in the American League Central. And I touched on it yesterday. It's going to be hard for me to manufacture hatred for the Minnesota Twins in the same way that I can for the Toronto Blue Jays, because there's just insert Canadian jokes. But maybe just because Minnesota is good, it'll be easier once this series actually begins. And yeah, I'm assuming Minnesota's going to win today. Minnesota's got some very impressive numbers. Now, they've struck out more than any team in all of baseball. They have, I think, the 10th best average in the American League. But in the AL, they're fourth in OPS because they're tied with the Texas Rangers for the American League lead in home runs. And a lot of that success offensively seems to be Royce Lewis related. He had the 2 home runs yesterday. He was called up in late May against the Houston Astros. He homered in that game. And then from a pitching staff perspective, the Twins lead baseball in total strikeouts. They are third in baseball in walks, hits per innings pitched. They're statistically scarier than a Toronto Blue Jays team that I feel like is a lot like the Los Angeles Chargers. They got pretty uniforms. They got names you recognize. And ultimately, they're going to blow it at the end. But again, I like to find reasons to hate sports towns for no reason. And Minnesota, it's a beaten down sports town. It's going to be hard. So really, I'm trying to think of a way to make this series also fun. And I think I have it. The biggest perk about a potential Astros twin series is that it gives me an excuse to text the only person that I've ever loved. She didn't love me back. I get a chance, though, much like your routine happy birthday text to an ex that you haven't talked to in a while. I can use Astros twins to rekindle the love I have. It's the only person, Sean, I've ever loved.
Is she a Twins fan?
She's from Minnesota. I don't think she cares about baseball at all.
Okay. Does she care about Taylor Swift?
Good question.
That might be a pivot.
She does like sports.
Okay.
Went to USC. Likes Duke basketball. So kind of an elitist.
Oh, my God. You love this woman?
Oh, I love her. Absolutely love her.
She's
the best.
Terrible.
No, don't say that about her. Don't say that about her.
I feel like you're actually going to get mad.
What should I text her to get back in her good graces? That's why I'm rooting for the Twins now, is like I want to bring her back in my life. The last time we hung out, it was great. It was 2 years ago. We haven't talked since, but it was great.
Okay. So
we finally met. Things finally happened that never happened because I was in the friend zone back in the day when we were around each other. What do I do? Do I use this as a way to crowbar my way back into her life like a toxic POS? I think I do.
Yeah, I think you.
What should I text her?
Oh my
Queen
God.
Bee Spice is saying, "Don't do it." Oh, that's just gonna make me do it.
This is less for Paul. This is more for the listeners. A lot of times, I find myself in this situation where Paul asks if he should do a thing, normally in either his social or romantic life, and I can read that he is saying, "I am going to do this."
Yeah, I am.
This is a good idea. And so...
No, I'm not asking for confirmation. Here's the thing. I know I'm not going to get a response, and I'm willing to make my life part of a radio bit. I am. I'm the only show at this station that is willing to do that. To say, F it, I'm going to do this for laughs, for bleeps and giggles. You guys, if you send me a good enough text to send, and I know like the Twitch is going to send all sorts of terrible ideas, I'm probably just going to ignore the Twitch. But if you send me a good enough text... So that, say the Astros and Twins are about to play each other, that I can find my way back into the love of my life's life.
You squirm your way.
Let me squirm, baby. Let me squirm on in. Well, not like that. No, don't, no, like, don't no, like that. No. Not
into,
like that.
Into her life.
Right.
Into her life.
Yeah.
Listen. I don't know what you're risking here. You know? I don't know. It doesn't sound like you guys.
This is low risk.
Talk very much. Yeah. So
been
exactly.
A while.
So if you...
I think she is dating somebody else, but I don't know she's dating someone else because she never posts on social media.
Okay.
I don't
period?
Know.
Doesn't post period or doesn't post this other guy.
Just doesn't post period. Okay. Like the last time we talked, I was in town. She lives in Los Angeles. I was in town and she was dating somebody else at the time. And I have sent the occasional, "Hey." No response. So we've got a couple of blues. We got a row of blues here. Listen, we're down in the dumps.
God.
We're working on myself. Hashtag sober October. We're working on ourselves. This series, I know, Astros, Twins, all that stuff. Like the Twins actually seem like they're a little bit more formidable than I first thought. Though I am feeling better about the Astros' chances in the postseason after what I saw yesterday, because it's really just Royce Lewis on this Twins team. But the Twins are presenting me with an opportunity. Should I do it? Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around. First, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS. Home insurance rates, everything, is getting super expensive. 30%, 40%, 50%. You're seeing big increases. Maybe you're not even paying attention to the big increases. You don't want to miss out on this, though. Grab your phone and text TGS Insurance Agency, the fastest growing agency in the state that makes saving fast and easy with an instant quoting system that shops the market and delivers you a proposal in 15 seconds. It is insane that they have this at your fingertips. Don't you wish that this was available in any other aspect of life? I'm talking about like television providers, electric providers. TGS is going to do it for your home insurance. So take your phone and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. The TGS system asks for your address. Boom. You'll have a proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds for people on the coast, to the Woodlands, Katy and Cypress, all the way to Big Money. Their customers save big with 35,000 of your neighbors in the area using TGS, the gold standard. Go get your savings right now. Stop waiting. Text money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Odin Finch.
Odin Finch.
I'm Odin Finch.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I've been thinking about doing something dumb. And having looked at my texts, five straight to this Twins fan, theoretically. I don't think she actually likes baseball.
Person from Minnesota.
Person from Minnesota, right. No response over five texts. I feel like I should not be texting this person again unless I'm in town just to say, hey, in town, if you've got the time. Is that wrong? We talked this out on the break. We're reading a couple of the suggestions because if the Astros end up playing the Twins, like this is a thought that's actually going through my head. Do I use this as an opportunity to try to get back into the life of the person I love? Some text suggestions, just as bad as the Twitch. Sup, bitch? How about them Twins? They busted. I don't think that's gonna work.
No, she's not 19.
Another texter. I could get us good seats when you come to town. I can't. I can't.
So maybe a good suggestion, but not actionable.
Chris from Sam Houston says, no responses, five texts means time for a Schmenzer picture.
I don't think Chris has the best intentions.
I don't either. Sean, you said something during the break. It was very sobering. You can say it on the air.
Okay.
You care about me as a friend.
It made
me feel good that you care about me like this. Sometimes I need to be talked back from doing something stupid.
When you said that it was like, because I asked you how many unread, you said it's a string of blue. I would like to know how many unread.
Five unread texts.
Five unread. When you told me that in the break, I cringed. Not because of you, not anything because of a judgment on you and the way you live your life. It is a judgment or is a reflection on I've been in those shoes. You know, it's I can relate to that. Maybe not five texts in a row, but I can relate to that. Maybe like two, maybe a third. But it is something that I feel like we've all been through as a generation, really, as a generation of young men and women. I'm sure there's some women that can relate to this. But yes, it made me cringe, and I didn't want to say it last segment because I thought
it made
you feel too bad.
It is a sobering moment in sober October for me. Though it's going to be tough on Saturday with the margaritas. The El Tiempo margaritas were a baseball tradition last year. Do I need to drink El Tiempo margaritas to help the Astros win the World Series? These are the questions I'm asking. Should I text my ex, who's from Minnesota, using a theoretical Astros Twins series to get back in her life? And should I drink El Tiempo margaritas to help the Astros? Jesus, I need help. I need help.
You also said that you went to USC. I'm surprised there isn't Caleb Williams, huh?
Nah,
wow, sit Coach Prime packing.
She knows I hate USC.
Oh,
she knows I hate them. She got mad at me once because I was like, I put on Facebook, I was like, suck at USC after they lost to Stanford. She got very mad at me. King of all Twitches says, have I shown you my Irish curse? She's seen the Irish curse. She didn't run away. So like, hey, like, but yeah, things did happen once. That's it. Just once. Anyway, I'm sharing too much.
I feel very vulnerable. I am uncomfortable.
Okay, cool.
Where this segment's gone.
Basketball? That's a sport?
Yeah.
It's a sport.
Bet it is.
We got media day across the NBA. Did you see Nikola Jokic show up to the Nuggets team facility as defending champs? I love that man. I love him so much. He looked abso-effing-lutely miserable. Miserable!
He was walking in with, like, his hands so far down in his pocket.
His feet, head looking at the floor.
His feet barely above, like, barely dragging his feet off the ground. And then someone goes, like, hey, Jokic, happy to be back? Like, some Nuggets person, like, I'm sure some social media person. And he just goes, yep, very happy. And just kept walking.
He was miserable. They asked him if he had any thoughts on Deion Sanders because Colorado's pretty close to Denver. And he's like, who's that? She's just the best.
Well, actually, if you're a journalist, you have to ask that question.
I know. God.
But you know he doesn't know who Deion Sanders is.
And it's great. Jamal Murray's sitting next to him. He's trying not to laugh because it's just so beautifully him. He said he touched a basketball a couple of times, not much this offseason. I'm so happy he is the champion because he really doesn't care. Like, he's just really good at this. It's his job, and he just wants to go back to his horses in Serbia. Meanwhile, LeBron James, we can't get enough of LeBron right now. First off, LeBron is debating doing his own football pick show. He doesn't use the spread. He just picks straight up winners, which is so useful as a pick show. He tweeted out, y'all know I love football. That said, I'm thinking about doing my picks of the week tomorrow on IG Live before they start. I did pick Detroit over Green Bay for Thursday night football. Anyways, we'll see. And then he actually, I think, did like an Instagram video making picks. He actually did pretty well.
I think he was like 11-2 or something.
He was pretty good in those picks.
Really good.
To his credit. But cool, you picked Detroit over Green Bay. Everyone with a brain did. This is Jordan Love against a better Lions team. Also, so much Laker hullabaloo before the season where Nikola Jokic isn't giving us anything. I saw an article. This is on the front page of ESPN today while I was doing my show prep. Headline, Austin Reeves, Lakers have Nuggets ring night circled. So I guess because Mike Malone, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, when he was on the Pat McAfee show, made a joke about LeBron saying, speaking of the Lakers, I just want you guys to know, this is breaking news. I'm thinking about retiring, so don't tell anybody. Which is what LeBron James did after the Lakers were eliminated. Gotta be the center of attention at all times. I get it. He's been the best player in basketball for a couple of decades, and he probably thought he was about to be in the spotlight once again. But man, the Lakers are so lame for feeling like this is motivational fuel for opening night against a team that eliminated them in the playoffs. That's not enough. Anthony Davis said, there was so much of that trash talk, which he called motivational. All right, we get it, y'all won. But me and Braun had some conversations like, we can't wait to play them again. Again, they eliminated you in the playoffs. So yeah, I would hope so. I love how, again, making fun of LeBron, trying to make everything about him and being the center of the universe is motivational fuel for the Lakers. Austin Reeves. I think everybody knows it was pointed at us. No, it's pointed at LeBron. I suppose he's stepping up for LeBron here. They could do it indirectly if they want, but I think it was very obvious to the public eye. That's why everybody was talking about it. LeBron said this about Mike Malone on his Instagram in June. I hear him on your mind that much, huh? I mean, I guess I see why. Enjoy your light, but no, I'm the sun. No, dude, you're just easy to make fun of. It's really that simple because you're not a real person. You're just a very carefully curated series of nothing posts made by one of the best basketball players we've ever seen. There's no depth. It's all hollow. Darvin Ham on the Sleague Uncut podcast again. It's all about Mike Malone just making fun of LeBron, pretending he was going to retire. This bleep ain't over. Okay, guys. Meanwhile, Nikola Jokic like doesn't even care. This is why Jokic is the best. Like, Jokic doesn't try to stay in the center of attention. LeBron does. What else do we have in basketball? Jimmy Butler, you see his hair? Emo style? Heat culture, not liking it. 98.9% of the Heat organization was uncomfortable with Jimmy Butler's hair. So there you go, guys. And Kevin Porter Jr., banned still by the Rockets. Damn. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
It is by the juice of Safu that thoughts acquire speed, the lips acquire stains, stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Just had some Valencias. Oh my God. So good. Some high quality Mexican food snacks in the middle of the day. So shout out to our friends at Valencias. Also, guys, guess what? You want some more free stuff? Because all we do is give you free stuff. The original Greek festival is back. Be Greek for a day and experience Greek culture. Handmade Greek food and desserts. The original Greek festival kicks off on Thursday at 5 p.m. And we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets right now to caller number 3-713-780-3776. Again, 713-780-ESPN. Did you know that my first ever job was at a Greek restaurant? My first ever job, and I was the only person that wasn't in a halfway house at that job. It taught me a lot about people. It really did. Honestly, I loved the people that I worked with. Every now and then, I would drive them back to the bus stop that took them back to the place where they were all staying. I thought they were all good, decent people. They were all trying to make the most of second chances. I might have, without knowing what was really going on, perhaps aided one in getting things that they probably shouldn't have. I remember we're driving them to the halfway house bus stop, and they said, like, oh, hey, can you stop here for a second? So I stopped there. I don't think anything of it. I'm this stupid, like, 18-year-old kid with no critical thinking going on. I'm like, oh yeah, these guys, they're just stopping to get something from a friend. And now in retrospect, I'm like, oh, I know what he stopped to get. It was fun working there, though. I love Louis Papa's Greek restaurant. I don't know if they still exist in St. Petersburg, Florida. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in. To join on the Twitch as well. I appreciate the Twitch, the text line, everyone trying to walk me back from using a potential Astros twin series to crowbar my way back into the love of my life's life. That would be funny if I did it, though. It would be funny. Someone's got to stop me. I feel like I might need to hand my phone over to somebody over the course of this series between the Astros and Twins. And I do think the Twins are going to advance today. The big news for the Houston Texans this week has been, yet again, another injury on the offensive line. And I'm not going to act like Kendrick Green having a torn meniscus is moving the meter a lot as far as like deep Texans conversation. It's more just a continuation of what's been unbelievably bad luck for the Texans on the offensive line from an injury perspective. Scott Questenberry, your center, he tears an ACL. Juice Scruggs, second round pick center, dealing with a strained hamstring. Kenyon Green, out for the year with the shoulder injury. He's your first round pick last year. Tytus Howard, you gave the extension. He broke his hand. He has yet to play for the Texans this year. Laremy Tunsil suffered some sort of knee injury. He hasn't played for a couple of weeks. And it's getting so crazy that now the guys that you have traded for as replacements are getting hurt. Kendrick Green, who you got from Pittsburgh. Then at left tackle, I mean, my God, you were shifting back and forth between Austin Deculus and Jaron Christian. Was that injury related? At this point, I mean, you almost assume it was. And here's what's funny. A couple of weeks ago, before the two wins, and especially after C.J. Stroud had been sacked 11 times in the first two games of the year, I would have told you the Texans were screwed if they suffered another injury on the offensive line. Now, for some reason, I feel All right. Part of it has to do with the fact that C.J. Stroud hasn't been sacked in 2 weeks. But it's weird that he hasn't been sacked in 2 weeks. I assumed, just given the way that the offensive line is, and given the lack of sacks of C.J. Stroud, that Stroud is getting rid of the ball extremely quickly. There's NFL Next Gen Stats. They actually have a time-to-throw statistic. Tua Tagovailoa is number one in the NFL, 2.37 seconds time to throw. Well, where does our good friend C.J. Stroud rank when it comes to that? Clearly, he's got to be up towards the top of the league, right? Now, he's not at the bottom. You ever feel a sneeze coming on? I feel like I have to sneeze right now. It's not coming out. Whatever. You guys don't care. Let me get back to C.J. Stroud. Stroud is in the bottom half of the league in terms of times to throw. At the absolute bottom, Zach Wilson, 3.11. Russell Wilson, 3.08. Justin Fields, 3.07. Deshaun Watson, 3.05. If you have a long time to throw, you're probably sucking it up a bit. And you would think that somebody like a C.J. Stroud, if he doesn't have that much time to throw, of course he's going to have to, by default, get the ball out a little bit more quickly unless he wants to get sacked all the time. But Stroud is actually like towards the back of the league when it comes to his time to throw. That means that he is holding onto the ball pretty long, and I think part of it just has to do with the poise that he has. And I know a lot of you guys are still pushing back on my very high praise for Stroud to this point, but I do think it's pretty telling how long he stands in there without panicking, without flinching, without throwing the football away, without turtling. This is the guy who actually is comfortable in the pocket and is accurate in the pocket. Hard to find guys like that. And I know that some of you, again, are like, well, it's the Texans. They'll screw it up. Well, it's an Ohio State quarterback. It's a limited sample size. It's the Steelers. It's the Jaguars. Look how he looked against the Ravens, the real good team of all the teams that they have played to this point in the year. Or maybe you're pointing at Indianapolis and saying, well, they're a little bit friskier than you would expect, but they're still the Colts, and they seem to do whatever they wanted against C.J. Stroud. Granted, all of those things. But what I'm telling you is that 2 weeks with more Texans offensive linemen getting hurt, I am now at the point where I'm not really that concerned about an offensive line that is legitimately in a hospital ward right now. It is its own hospital ward. Is that irrational thinking? Probably. Much like me being excited hearing all the cliches, coach speak, coming out of D'Amico Ryan's mouth. It actually had, you know, him saying, oh, you know, we're not really concerned about the division. We're not concerned about our record. We're not concerned about the standings. That got me going. Kendrick Green being hurt doesn't really affect my morale as far as covering this Houston Texans team and wondering where they can actually end up going this year. It doesn't affect it. But we'll see what they... once again, they're going to have to shuffle the deck. I don't know what they do now. Do you have to make another trade? Caserio said multiple injuries ago that they already were just dealing with something from an offensive line perspective that they'd never dealt with before. Like, he's never seen before. And then more injuries happened. And yet, I'm not freaking out about it. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. On the other side, we will talk about Trevor Bauer's video. A guy who a lot of Astros fans don't like. A guy who is quite a polarizing figure, shared his side of a story that has seen him essentially excommunicated from the major leagues. You'll hear what he had to say, and we'll weigh in on it. Next is the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Old Greg.
I know what you're thinking. Here comes Old Greg. He's a scaly manfish. I'm Old Greg.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant,
Give him hell, Paulie.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 is how you call, it's how you text. I'm sure people have plenty of thoughts on this. We have not seen Trevor Bauer in the major leagues for quite some time. I know that this is a person that a lot of Astros fans did not like because he was very heavy with the finger pointing when it came to the Astros and their alleged use of spider tack. I believe that he also was very pointed when it came to other accusations against the Houston Astros of cheating. But you'll also remember that there was an incident of domestic violence where he was alleged to have choked, strangled a woman that he had as a visitor. And that, and the coverage of that, saw that he's probably never going to play in the major leagues again, you would think. But we haven't heard much on that front. We've never seen him charged criminally. We've seen some stories covering all of it. But it did feel like at first there were a lot of people that saw Trevor Bauer, whether it's Astros fans who just didn't like him because he was pointing fingers at the Astros, or a lot of other people who thought he was kind of an a-hole. And he does come off as a douche, an a-hole. I think a lot of people were quick to believe said accusations. And I'll be honest, I don't know if those accusations are true or untrue. What I do know is that Trevor Bauer has been pretty quiet on this front. There have been times where he has weighed in on other incidents where it does feel as if he's been intimating that the people that are accusing him of this, the woman that is accusing him of this, he clearly intimated that he felt that she was out for a cash grab. He finally decided to share his side of the story on Twitter via a video. It's about 4 to 5 minutes. Here's a clip from said video.
Her AA sponsor asked her at one point, "Do you feel a tiny bit guilty?" "Not really," she replied. Since then, her legal team has approached me multiple times about coming to a financial settlement. But as I have done since day one, I refuse to pay her even a single cent. In August of 2021, Lindsay Hill's claims were heard in court. And during those legal proceedings, critical information was deliberately and unlawfully concealed from me and my legal team. Information like this video, which was taken by Lindsay Hill herself the morning after she claimed she was brutally attacked, emotionally traumatized, and desperate to get away from me. And now we have the metadata, so there can be no dispute. It was taken mere minutes before she left my house on the morning of May 16th, 2021, without my knowledge or consent, of course. In it, you can see her lying in bed next to me while I'm sleeping, smirking at the camera without a care in the world, or any marks on her face. I think it paints a pretty clear picture of what actually happened the evening of May 15th and why the video was originally concealed from us.
He also, in this video, brings up a couple of, I guess, text conversations that they were able to get via a court order, in addition to that actual video and the metadata that he pointed out. So this is now all out in the open. And does it completely exonerate Trevor Bauer here? A lot of people are arguing yes. I'm not going to go that far. What I will say in a situation like this where there is a extremely disliked figure who is accused of something bad, and a lot of people, I think just human nature-wise, you want to believe that those accusations are true because that's sort of who we are, sadly. I think this is more a cautionary tale of when these stories come out, and this is why I was uncomfortable when the story first came out and why I'm still a little bit uncomfortable talking about it now. We truly don't know everything. There's no written report that's revealing both sides of this. We have Bauer's side of the story now. We had the other side of the story before. And there have been some people who have been covering this story from a very one-sided perspective that are probably going to have to face some legal ramifications in the not-too-distant future. I would assume that Trevor Bauer, who has been extremely vigilant about trying to clear his name and puts this video out there, I imagine that he is also going to go after some of the people who covered this. I think Molly Knight specifically is the reporter who covered this story. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Bauer has actually even tweeted something about possible legal action against her. We'll see where this goes. Stories like this are easy to jump on. It's easy to join in with the rest of the mob and finger point and say, yeah, that guy's a POS. And this is just a reminder that you can't always do that. And you would like to believe people who make accusations against others, if they're really serious in nature, truly you would. You would think that this story right here is one of a few as opposed to one of a many, if you're assuming that people are more honest. But sometimes that's not the case. So again, this isn't me saying that Trevor Bauer has exonerated himself, but I am curious as to what happens next. I feel like actually having written texts via some sort of written report and more than just the video with Trevor Bauer explaining it the way that he did in that little video that he put up that was definitely edited, that's going to be a lot more illuminating than that video. But I do wonder how many of the people who were coming after Trevor Bauer very hard when this story first came out, I do wonder how many of them are now regretting having done that.
Yeah, it's something that it's not – I mean, Trevor Bauer is like a good kind of case study in this because of what you said. Like, it's kind of – I don't know. It wasn't the most likable person, even for non-Astros fans. I feel like most baseball people just kind of like – most baseball fans kind of rolled their eyes every time Trevor Bauer tweeted something. And then these allegations come out. And I think it is just like human nature, A, to just believe them and then to not really revisit it, because the legal process in this country, and it should be, but it is kind of long and boring. And so for people to talk about it, it's not like that interesting to actually talk about the day-to-day, like what's happening, da-da-da. It's more, you know, explosive when the story comes out and then when it's resolved, you know? That's just kind of what happens, is that that's what gets the most eyeball. I mean, even for us, like, other than the Deshaun Watson thing, that's the only time we actually covered any sort of case on a day-to-day basis, but that was very specific circumstance. So, like,
yeah,
if what Trevor Bauer, and I assume that Trevor Bauer's Twitter video is going to paint a picture where Trevor Bauer is 100% innocent of anything that he's ever done.
That's how it goes.
That's what all of his Twitter, he's never done anything wrong according to his Twitter.
This is the same guy, speaking of eye rolling before you finish, Sean, yeah. Like, this is the same guy who shouted out to Deshaun Watson after Watson got traded to the Browns last year.
Yeah.
So again, there's always eye rolling with Trevor Bauer, and it's crazy to compare those two situations, because with Deshaun Watson, somebody actually texted that in. With Deshaun Watson, 24 cases. With Trevor Bauer, seems to be this one single isolated case, and maybe there were some others that were brought in as well. But with Trevor Bauer, it's one person. With Watson, it's a lot of people, and it's hard to dismiss all of those people, where with Bauer, maybe a little bit easier. Continue, Sean.
Yeah, I was just saying that, like, with these kind of allegations and stuff, that it is something where it is hard to kind of get that, especially, again, when you're Trevor Bauer, when people do not like you because of other things that you've done and said.
Like cyberbullying a teenage girl, as Largo brings up.
Yeah, people aren't going to, like, all of a sudden be like, you know what, we're sorry, Trevor Bauer, welcome back to MLB with open arms, you know, like, welcome back to the LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not going to happen when you treat people the way that he treated people outside of this case in his everyday life, like a complete a-hole.
And on the other side of things, some of the people defending Deshaun Watson, some of the people still defending Deshaun Watson, there was a lot of good that made you want to believe that Deshaun Watson couldn't do something like this.
Exactly.
That's what's kind of ironic about this whole thing. Anyway, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for a little garbage time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Be very interesting to see what happens in the wild card playoffs later today. I am expecting the Twins to win. Don't mess with service workers in Houston, guys. Don't do it. Service workers have nothing to lose. You push them too hard, you never know what you're going to get. Like a story at Jack in the Box going back to 2021. A Florida man and his family had to flee gunfire from a Jack in the Box after ordering a combo meal near Bush Intercontinental Airport. A man had paid $12.99 for a classic buttery Jack combo meal. The Jack in the Box employee, Alonia Fantasia Ford, got in an argument with Ramos because he didn't receive his curly fries. She pulled out and cocked the gun halfway through the argument. After Ford hurled the ice and condiment package through the drive-thru window before she brandished the gun, she fired two shots at the family as they fled. You're never going to win getting in a fight with service workers. Now, you're not expecting them to pull a gun, but you're never going to win. We got a Popeyes story, too. An employee at a Northeast Harris County Popeyes was arrested after authorities say he was selling drugs while working and shot someone during a drug exchange gone wrong. Now, man, this man is, as a lot of those online people would call, he is a hustler. Hustle mindset. Oh, you could work a service job at Popeyes and sell weed at the same time. That's what I do.
Boom.
That's how I make money.
I work with the same 24 hours you do. What do you do with it?
Sean, he was only selling drugs while working at Popeyes.
Yeah, well, guess what? He just doubled. He has an 8-hour Popeyes shift and an 8-hour drug dealing shift. That's 16 hours. But nope, he just combined it into the same 8 hours. He just bought himself 8 hours to be an entrepreneur.
Doubling his income. And here's what happened. Someone tried to rob him when he was making the exchange. He pulled out a gun, shot at the man at least 7 times. Again, don't mess with service workers, especially ones that are selling weed at the same time. Because they got the hustle mindset, but they also got the I'ma kill you mindset.
Also, getting in an argument with these people, like, what, best case scenario, you get curly fries and an extra chicken tender?
It's like not that, worth the like, $1.99 curly fries.
What are we talking about here?
It's crazy. He is Sean Mapes. I am Paul Gallant. Big thanks to everybody who tuned into today's show. I won't do it. I will not use that. Use the Twins as a crowbar to get back into the love of my life's life, okay? Thank you for talking me off that ledge. Subscribe to the podcast, rate, review, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So long, farewell. Connor and Beard are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip now.
I knew which vegetables went together, proteins, temperature, sauces. And when somebody new came into the restaurant to stage, I'd look at them like they were a competition, like I'm going to smoke this mother.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.